Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 2, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. I hope you're having a great day. It's a Cowboys Monday. Not a victory Monday, but not a loss Monday either. As we get ready here to talk with Joseph Hoyt, Dallas Morning News. Brian approaching the microphone, chuckling a little bit.
Yeah, it's always funny when Bobby jumps in with the group text and tries to be like, huh, I've got the information.
Oh,
I'm like,
Bobby,
I've been saying on the air the guy got his ass beat, okay?
Yep. Yeah, it's a great story. Bobby Petrino motorcycle story.
Yeah. Well said, Brian.
I'd be pulling up in that motorcycle every day with a big old smile on my face.
Yeah.
Okay, Joseph Hoyt, Dallas Morning News, joining us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. How you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Can we start with Dak Prescott? How impressed are you? Is this the best Prescott has ever played?
Yeah, I mean, to quote CeeDee Lamb, he's hooping right now. I think the thing that probably I take the most away is just his command of the offense right now and kind of the combination of just aggressiveness but also calculated risk. Some of these balls that he's pushing downfield are, you know, there's some tight windows, there's some contested catch stuff, but I think he's really trusting his guys. And I think, honestly, you know, just how well he's kind of taken off despite having a season-ending injury last year, I think, you know, that's one thing I kind of anticipated. Hey, you know, preseason, you know, going into year 10, a little bit of rust maybe – you know, after kind of having a season-ending injury last year, and he's hit the ground running. The big reason why, he said, it's because it's year 10. There's nothing he hasn't seen in his mind. He feels comfortable. He feels he's got a great command. You know, he looks fantastic. He's playing at a top six, top seven quarterback level in the NFL right now.
How weird was the locker room after the game? You get a tie, like the vibes. How crazy was that?
So weird. I think everyone was kind of doing the Ricky Bobby, I don't know what to do with my hands kind of thing, just kind of hanging out there because it was weird. I mean, even George Pickens literally questioned to us. He's like, is this like a new thing? You know, ties? a lot of players just did not know how to feel. It was a mixture of like, there were some guys you could tell who were really down and some guys who were, you know, pretty excited with how they played. And I think you can kind of figure out which side of the ball they played on. The offensive guys, I think, felt pretty good about putting up 40. Defensive guys, not so much about allowing 40.
Is the defense fixable? If the front office is thinking, we can't let this season go with such a great offense and this bad a defense, let's get active. Like, is it realistic they could bring in enough players or adjust enough things internally to, you know, be respectable, try to make it a goal to be an average defense by the end of the year?
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic question because the margin between – you know, you're never as bad as you think you are, and you're never as good as you think you are on film, right? And you kind of watch film, and I kind of still don't really know where to put all the blame, right? I think if you have questions in multiple places, I think that margin starts to get wider. You know, I think the linebacker play needs to be better, right? I think corners are obviously still having some miscommunications. I talked to Trayvon Diggs last night about that 4th and 6 with Matthew Golden wide open, and he said that he was clamoring to the inside guys, hey, Matthew Golden's going to run a seam and sit in this vulnerable part of cover 2, get there. And that's why he was so animated after that didn't happen because, you know, he thought he saw it coming. So I just see a lot of guys either not on the same page or, you know, guys half a step off from making plays. You know, Kenny Clark was adamant that, hey, you know, I was close to making a sack and a potential fumble that could have changed the game, and I didn't. And he's like, we got to make those plays. And it's not only me. It's other guys that are just close and not getting that cigar. And I think that, you know, it's kind of hard to really decipher right now what is the missing margin between them being, you know, one of the worst defenses in the NFL and being a potentially average defense.
Joseph Hoyt, Dallas Morning News, with us in the G-Bag Nation. So fourth and goal, overtime, at the Packers' four-yard line. Did you like the field goal, or would you have been aggressive and gone for the touchdown?
Yeah, I like the field goal, and I know that there's been some kind of discussion a little bit
Coward.
About that. Fair. I take the points, though, because...
yeah, and stopped anybody all night, Joseph. Come on, man. And stopped anybody all night.
I know, but you lose the game, I think, if you don't get it there. And realistically, you know, I just don't think putting it down one play is the way to go there. I know that the defense had been so bad, and here, I mean, I just talked about how bad they've been on multiple layers, but I think you have to give them a chance in that case. And frankly, I'll be honest with you, with the time, I honestly didn't expect the Packers to take as much time as they did. I thought it was just a really interesting approach they had. I get the argument to go for it and put your best foot forward with the offense that had actually been doing well. I just don't want to lose the game right there. So maybe a coward's approach, sure, but that's kind of the way I would go about it.
Appreciate you living that way, Joseph, though. Being a coward's okay.
Hey, oh my God, Brian, come on.
I had a coach once tell me, though, to your point, Brian, I had a coach once tell me you can't live life in a 2-3 zone. And, you know, so I mean, maybe there's something to that effect.
Yeah.
My gut reaction was just play it safe, but I see the argument.
It's yeah. Joseph Hoyt of the Morning News here with you on the Fan.
Yeah, Joseph. Okay, we're talking about, did you, some of the changes, though, the defense, and yeah, they didn't stop them really in the second half at all. But did you like some of the adjustments they tried to make with, like, you know, with James on the field, a little bit more blitzing, some things like that?
A little bit, yeah. But I think there was a little bit of progress in terms of getting better. But it's still not good.
It's
not good enough.
You're right? Yeah, it's not good.
And so it's hard to celebrate progress, I guess, right now with where they are. I mean, you know, you look at what they were doing on third downs; they're giving them more third down conversions than not right now. You know, they're last in the NFL. Green Bay averaged 15 yards per play on third down last night, had multiple touchdowns. Like, it's – and I think, Brian, like, the thing that kind of just gets me is the amount of guys – it's how easy it is, right? I think
that
if you're
ball
looking
in the flat,
at,
you got a chance for about 12 yards, yeah.
Yeah, literally. Or, hey, let's just run just one screen really quick.
And,
you know, there's no one there to rally. Like, it's – I think that's the part that has me most concerned about the Cowboys' defense right now. We talked about earlier, that margin, I don't know how wide it is, but I think there's a lot of concern that it's pretty wide.
Are you happy with Pickens? And I mean this in a way, did he kind of do some things for you? I'm not saying you'd resign him or anything like that, but do you feel like that he proved something to you that you maybe thought about him coming into the season?
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I wrote last week that this, you know, even though he didn't really want to go into this detail, but this was a chance for him to prove his value. I mean, he's a free agent. He's a guy that wants the T. Higgins-like money, you know, to be that kind of wide receiver two, you know, elite kind of player. And this is your chance to prove that, you know, you can be the guy that steps in and is the go-to guy. And, you know, I think, like, it's so funny with Pickens sometimes because I think he does have, like, a methodical way of running routes and, like, a methodical way of, like, going up and going after the ball that sometimes you question, like, hey, is that like half speed or is that full speed?
Yeah.
Like where are we at with him? And I think he's just kind of methodical and calm. And I wondered if that would really translate to being a guy that gets a lot of attention and is the go-to guy in offense. And honestly, I thought last night he proved a lot. I think he's going to have to kind of stack some of those games a little bit in order to kind of get the value that he hopes to get. And obviously he's got to stay on the straight and narrow in terms of, you know, the way of adapting to culture and all that stuff that obviously got him a little bit out in Pittsburgh. So I think it was a great game for George Pickens. Second most receiving yards he's ever had in a game. If he can sack a couple of those, I think his value is going to go up.
Joseph, one thing, when we're talking about the defense, in your spot on the third down defense has been terrible, but just to the changes that were made, I mean, I think the easy thing is, okay, fire your coordinator, right? And maybe that ends up happening after the season. But my concern is that they're just not talented right now. They don't have enough good players on that side of the football. Where do you stand with that?
I think there's elements of both, to be honest. I think one guy that's been kind of I was expecting a little bit more out of Sanborn, to be honest, in terms of kind of anticipation and being in areas. You know, I think just the speed difference is a little bit noticeable right now. He's making tackles, but, you know, I think that Tucker Kraft screen that we were talking about on that one of those first third downs, like that was kind of evident of just the lack of speed right now. I think they need more out of their linebackers a lot. Corners, obviously, in the secondary is a lot of miscommunication. So personnel-wise, you know, and kind of going back to Gavin's question, do you bring in someone that can kind of fix it? I think they have too many vulnerabilities right now to have one guy be the simple fix. I think a guy like Clowney helps too. I thought he looked a little raw last night, but at least I thought he was flying around. I think there's something to build off there. So maybe you add a couple guys, but I don't know, man. I think that there's not a really an easy fix right now for this Cowboys defense.
Joe, how much love is deserved for guys like Clayton Adams and Connor Riley on that offensive line, dealing with backups, still being able to run the heck out of the football?
Yeah, a ton. I think, you know, the best times when you notice offensive linemen is really when you don't really hear their name, or if you don't notice when things change, right? And to be honest, I think it's been pretty seamless. I mean, obviously Tyler Booker, very talented. You know, Cooper Beebe, very talented. But I think Brock Hoffman, TJ Bass, those are guys with enough experience, especially experience together, frankly. You know, they're really close friends, they're locker mates. I think that those guys have been able to step in and be very solid for the Cowboys, and that's all you can kind of ask for when injuries come. You know, you don't really see a turnstile back there, which I think is huge. And then even when Tyler Guyton goes out, Nate Thomas steps in, and even he stepped in a right tackle for a little bit, it wasn't noticeable. And I think that that's probably the best thing you can say about it. You know, they've been really complimentary of their own depth when it comes to offensive line. And I think Clayton Adams is a guy that's kind of had his stock up, you know, since he got here in Dallas. He's known for just a successful running game. And now all of a sudden, Javonte Williams is averaging over 5 yards a carry and kind of looks like a guy that can be a 1,200, 1,300-yard rusher this year. So I think Clayton Adams, Connor Riley deserve a lot of credit for kind of keeping things seamless amidst a lot of change.
Yeah, I feel like this personnel would have just been like a turtle on their back with McCarthy or Kellen Moore. I'm used to, especially against good defenses, when the Cowboys start like that, it's over. They don't have any answers, and it doesn't look like they have any urgency or belief. Like, what could you say about the offensive adjustments they were able to make last night?
Yeah, I think that they were fantastic. I think one thing that, you know, I'm going to kind of ask Schottenheimer about today a little bit is just how in sync the timing was in order to kind of prevent Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary from getting there in time, right? Because I think, you know, everyone thinks about the 2.8 kind of second clock that Dak Prescott has to have. Well, receivers also have to be on that timing and kind of get to their spots and win to get in those spots, and I think they did a great job. I think that deserves a lot of credit, and obviously I think Ford deserves a lot of credit. But I'll give one thing. I think Javonte Williams, I kind of had this note that I wrote last night. I thought that he was going to wear down a little bit. You know, no Miles Sanders. He's taken a lot of hits. He's always got the dirtiest jersey among anyone else because he's taking so many hits. And in fact, he wore the opposing defense down. So instead of wearing down, he wore down the opposing defense. And I thought that was a great testament to a guy. It's kind of Frank Gore-like a little bit, where it's like, hey, 3-4 yards a carry, 3-4 yards a carry. You know, you kind of get your jabs in, and then bam, there's a 15-20 yard knockout punch that kind of helps the offense really kind of move forward. So I've been very, very impressed with Javonte Williams.
What can you tell us about the amazing DoorDash story? I know that you've put this out on social media and you wrote about it in the Dallas Morning News, but to anybody that wasn't able to hear about this, I think this is one of the feel-good stories of the NFL season so far.
Yeah, this was fantastic. And shout-out to DoorDash. Basically, I ordered DoorDash in Philadelphia. I was staying at the airport for the season opening, and there's just not a lot of stuff around there, and it was a long day, so I said I'll order DoorDash. My driver, Gilbert, comes up, and he's wearing all Eagles stuff, a Saquon Barkley, Kelly Green jersey. During the messages, when he was updating me, he's saying, go Birds, the entire time. And I'm like, this is hilarious. And when he pulls up in all these Eagles stuff, I ask him, like, hey, Gilbert, you going to the game tonight? He's like, no, I've actually never, ever been to an NFL game. It's always been my dream. I'm a diehard Eagles fan. I just watch the TV, but it's always been my dream to go. And it just gave me a lot of perspective being an NFL reporter, where I get to travel around and cover all these games and see all these things. you know, sometimes the job can feel like a job. And I was like, you know what, like that instilled a lot of perspective in me about how lucky and blessed I am to have this job and to go to these games and to see these things. So I tweeted about that kind of perspective and said that it was kind of instilled from Gilbert, the DoorDash driver. And the tweet kind of took off a little bit, and DoorDash reached out and said, hey, let's connect. We'd love to get your driver to a game. He was able to go to last week's game against the Rams, the one that Jordan Davis blocked the field goal to seal the win. And that was Gilbert's first game. He had great seats. And so, anyways, it was really cool, I think, in today's world with the rising costs of everything, and that someone who really is truly a diehard fan got a chance to see that and have that experience.
Joseph Hoyt, Dallas Morning News here with you on The Fan. That is a cool story. Another cool story, I think Jake Ferguson's on pace for like 140 catches. You taking the over or under on that?
Oh, I'm taking the over, especially if he's doing more cover two shells and giving some of these flat routes. But, no, I think Ferguson, that was one of the good stories from last night, too. A guy that's been desperate to get back in the end zone. And, you know, it's something that he's really strived to. It bothered him all last year that he didn't get a chance to get in the end zone. You know, Dak was, you know, really complimentary of him. But I think Jake's game right now is going to have to be kind of that seam and body back, you know, box out kind of tight end. And if they can kind of connect on some of those plays, it could work out for him.
Body bagging it, huh?
Body bag, box out.
Whatever, you know, it takes.
Make things. It happen.
Yeah, whatever it happens, yeah.
So what were your takeaways now that it's behind us, the Micah Parsons return?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. I this whole day I've been kind of thinking, like, Micah Parsons is obviously fantastic. I thought he had a great game. But honestly, to a little bit of Jerry Jones's credit, I think that there is a way to play against him. I think it takes a lot. That's one thing I'll say. I think, you know, you got to run, you got to have a good game plan, you got to do all these things. And clearly the Cowboys could have used him on that defense, right, and to get after Jordan Love and make some plays. But in terms of going against him offensively, there is a way to play against him. It takes a lot of synchronicity, I think, between receivers, coach, running back, offensive line, and specifically number four back there. But I thought that they did a good job. You know, Micah Parsons was good last night, and yet the Cowboys put up 40 points. So I think that that's kind of one of my takeaways is that I don't know if the Cowboys are better off with him. Like Jerry says, I would say no. But I do think that there is a way that you can play against him, and I think that that was a fear in the back of their mind as they had Micah Parsons over the years.
Joseph Hoyt, Dallas Morning News. Apparently you have Karate Kid on your mind as much as I do, sir.
Yeah, it's always on my mind.
Let's go. Man, appreciate it. As always, great job on the beat, and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Yeah, I'll try not to live life in that 2-3 zone much longer. So thanks.
There he goes. Cheers to you, sir. Thank you very much. It's a Cowboys Monday, and you know, we'll continue our reactions. Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40, but we have the C-Note coming up next here, the Cowboys News of the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.